Thank you for that song. It fits in very beautifully with that, with the message for today, as you'll see. The title for this morning's message is "In Everything Give Thanks." The scripture readings, there are two. They're very short. The one that's listed in the bulletin is not the one I'm going to read, but it says the same thing, and so I encourage you to read it later. It has a phrase about "In everything give thanks." But listen first at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you want to make a note of that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, I'll read first. Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And then I'm adding a second verse, just one verse, that you will know and you have heard before, Romans 8:28, and I'm reading not from the New Revised Standard Version, but the Old Revised Standard Version, and I'll tell you why in the course of the message. "We know that in everything God works for good for those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose." Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord and our God, as we come this week to our Thanksgiving meals, help us to both wrestle and to count on your blessings, to count that in all circumstances you are working. And help us to be thankful in everything, in all circumstances, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I've said this before to you, Thanksgiving is not meant to be just one day, but it really is an attitude for every day that we live. It's an attitude that the Apostle Paul writes about in several places in the New Testament, in Colossians and 1 Thessalonians. In Romans 8, he gives us more advice about when things are difficult, how things can work out. Most Bible translations of this passage render it, "In everything give thanks," but some say, "In all circumstances give thanks." In everything give thanks. I passed four churches this morning on the way to our church, and they had on their church sign that phrase, "In everything give thanks." And I share all this with you this morning because we will come to Thanksgiving Day this week. I have crossed preaching on this particular theme for over 30 years. And for some reason this morning, I am drawn to it again. But to tell more of the truth of the matter, that life frequently does not unfold as we often think it will. I find sometimes it's difficult to give thanks in all circumstances. This is a sermon that I hesitated, I tried to go away from, and I kept being drawn back to this particular message this morning. And so I hope that it will help someone here this morning, because it was certainly called out of me to preach. And it's true, sometimes the script in life is altered by something. Sometimes it's altered by some unpredictable success, some positive outcome, some good fortune, perhaps a new job, for example, that we've shared this morning. But more often than not, the change in life's journey often seems like a shadow that falls over our path, or it seems like a fork in the road, and sometimes we feel like we've taken the wrong path. We've gone the wrong fork in the road. We can personally give thanks this morning for God's word to us in the Bible at this particular point, because again and again, when you turn in the Bible's sacred pages, what you find is that we see stories of people's lives that have been altered, courses in their lives that have been changed. We see disappointments that they have dealt with. And you can almost take your pick throughout the whole Bible at who you want to look at about this particular theme of things changing and not working out or going in a different direction. Our Presbyterian women have been studying the women that are in Matthew's genealogy. And this last month, we looked at Rahab the prostitute who lived in the wall of Jericho, probably the most vulnerable place in the city to live, on the outside wall. And the spies of Israel, you remember, come to check out Jericho, and they go to Rahab. Rahab has lived a difficult life, but she has emerged as the head of the household in that family. And in talking with those spies, they promise that when they come to sack that city, that she and her entire family will be saved. And that promise is honored by Joshua. The path in her life is changed forever, and she is rescued from the city of Jericho, but everyone else in the city is destroyed. A fork in the road. Lives are altered. Some obvious examples I'll give further. In the Old Testament story of Isaac, for example, Isaac had two boys. They were twins, Jacob and Esau, and he must have been proud of his sons. And yet, those two sons, when you follow their stories, they become rivals even at an early age. And they become deathly rivals at that. And poor Isaac, old and blind, dies disappointed that there is division within his family. Or take David. David, for example, the man after God's own heart, we're told in Scripture, he was the shepherd boy who became the king of Israel. And one of King David's great dreams was to build a temple for the glory of God to house the Ark of the Covenant. And he gathered all the materials, but that dream would not take place in his lifetime. His son Solomon would go on to build that great temple. Or Moses, for example. I'll come back to Moses in a bit. Moses, the one thing he dreamed about was to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. To a land of promise, and he stood face to face with Pharaoh, you remembered. And he challenged Pharaoh, and he went on to be given only a glimpse of the promised land. He did not go into it. Moses didn't. Life often has some broken dreams. It often has some disappointments that come along with it. There are good things that happen, but there are also disappointments. They are part and parcel of the human experience, which is to say that suffering, as I'm reminded by the ambulance, is a part of the life that we live. Dealing with pain and suffering is part of the journey, and the pain and suffering can be both emotional and it can be physical. In fact, here's what I believe this morning. I think pastors who express Christian truths week after week have to be very careful lest we convey messages that life and faith are simplistic or Pollyannish. In other words, it is all too easy to say that if we walk with faith in God, all will be well. And I hear that message when I listen to many other pastors, that things will be just fine if we walk with God, that nothing will happen to you. But I give thanks for the truths that I read in Scripture and that I read this morning. I believe they teach that living a life of faith in Christ through regular worship, study of the Bible, and walking with Him daily, I think that does lead to a more joyous and purposeful life. But it is not always free from hardship. It is not always free of pain. It is not always free of defeat and failure. Some of those we know in life and in history who have been the closest to God are those in history we learn about who have suffered the most. Let me give you an example. Think of the woman Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was called blessed. Blessed Mary. She was the mother of the Savior of our world, but let us remember that Mary, who was blessed throughout history, has also been referred to as the mother or the lady of sorrows. And if you look up online, you can see her seven sorrows, the seven sorrows of Mary. And in one particular statue, there is an image of seven arrows, all of which are proclamations of Scripture about what will happen to her son and the sorrow that she experienced in watching his life. I met an Uber driver this week, and maybe you all have done that in the past. The church van was ready to be picked up early, and so I called Uber. And I always enjoy having that experience, especially here at the church, because I have to stand out on 580 and wave them down so they don't go to Landmark and try to find me. I'm not next door at the other church, I'm here. And I tell them that when they call me. We're the larger church next to this small thing next to us, right? But sometimes they mistakenly take the wrong turn and go to Landmark Drive, and then they have to wave them in all the way around the back. But this particular Uber driver named Sean, he had grown up in the Clearwater area. And so we had a wonderful conversation on the way to Furman Ford to pick up the van. He wanted to talk about people's faith. He said, "I find people don't read the Bible when everything's going good." And I said, "Sean, you should have gone into the ministry." And then he wanted to talk about Joseph for some reason in the Old Testament. He said, "I was on a tour in Egypt many years ago, and it was pointed out to me on a monument that there in Egyptian, Joseph's name was listed as one who helped to save Egypt during a time of famine." And I find that fascinating that he's a person of history. I said, "Well, of course he is. We could talk about many others, Sean, that were people in history." And then he said, "Yes," he said, "I first learned about Joseph many years ago at a vacation Bible school." And then I paused and I said, "From which church did you learn that?" He said, "Oh," he said, "this one, Northwood. Over 20 years ago, I learned about Joseph." I asked Sean to come any time to worship with us. I hope he will. But note also this Apostle Paul, this great Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary writer of letters we have in the New Testament. We're told in the Bible he was often beaten. He was often jailed because of his faith. He was thrown out of cities. He was stoned because of his teachings about Christ. And he is the author of the words that I read this morning. And so he knows something about the truth of suffering in the faith. So we have a strong reference for one who divinely wrote the words for us today to reflect upon. We will all feel some wounds in life as we journey through this world. And so the question comes this morning, is it all for good? Is it all for good? Give thanks in all things. That was on all those churches' signs. Give thanks in all things. Do all things, in other words, work together for good. The Living Bible translates that Romans 8:28 this way. All that happens to us is working for good. I'm not sure about that. All things that happen to us are working for good. The King James Bible says it this way. And we know that all things work together for good. I was asked at a memorial service recently to not read from the old King James, but the new King James. And the woman, the daughter, didn't say the new King James. She said, "Daddy wanted everything read from New Jimmy." New Jimmy. And I'd never heard that before, New Jimmy. But the new King James Bible says it exactly the same thing. And we know all things work together for good. I have reflected some this week over the experiences that I have had in my life, just a few of them. It has been a sobering week to reflect upon the sufferings that I've experienced with others, but I share a few of them with you this morning. I knew a family in Alabama. When I served there as pastor in that small town, Dale was a Methodist pastor at the local college. His wife, Martha, was a Methodist pastor as well, working in the little town of Piedmont, just north of Jacksonville. They were in worship one Sunday morning before they put in the alarms about tornadoes there in that part of the state. A tornado hit the church, destroyed the church. Several people were killed, including their young daughter. I want to say to you, when I finally walked up to Dale to talk to him, I did not put my arm around him and say, "Now, Dale, you know, all things work together for good." I did not say that. It was a hard day. I I once was asked as a pastor to call a son of a family who he was a student living out of state at another college. He had made a poor choice and not chosen Florida State. I can say that after 16 years. But his mother was a member of the church in St. Pete that I served, and I had just announced I was moving to Sarasota. She had done the same thing, but she had a teaching job in Pinellas County in middle school, and she was commuting back to St. Petersburg every day. And I had to call her son to tell him one night that his mother had been killed in a terrible automobile accident. Now, I could have said to him, you know, focus on your studies. All things work together for good. But I did not say that. I will never forget that conversation that took place that night with him. Here is what I believe this morning. And I don't know where this came from. I don't know why this sermon appeared today. But here it is. I believe that Jesus looked at the world and saw the same thing that we see every day. He saw a world of evil, of pain, of suffering, of injustice. And I believe it made him weep, especially when we read about his friend Lazarus who died. I think he had compassion on all that he met and healed. And this is why I believe he taught in that great prayer. He taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. Or our Lord taught us that, deliver us from evil. And so it is never sufficient, it is never true in my judgment to just simply say all things work together for good. I don't think that's appropriate for a sign. It's not enough. It's a partial statement. It needs explanation. The old, remember I said the old, not the new RSV Bible. It renders Romans 8:28 in one of the best ways to translate it that I've ever heard. It reads, not that all things work together for good, but this is what it reads. We know that in everything, God works for good. There it's in context. In everything, God is working for good for those who love him. That in everything, and here is the key, God works for good. We can indeed believe and affirm that in whatever circumstances, we can give thanks. Why? Because God is always working for good in all circumstances. The preacher David H.C. Reed, he said it this way. It is one thing to say when some cruel blow strikes that it's all part of a good plan. However, it's quite another to say this cruel blow is thoroughly evil and wrong, but God is working through it in some mysterious way. And is always, yes, always in time able to bring something good from it. And that is what the promise is. Not that everything always works out, but that God is always at work. The entire Bible is there, you see, not to show us a perfect world where it all happens for the best, but it's there to show us in character after character a fallen world, a world that is very messed up, where God is constantly present to bring good out of evil until Christ comes at the end and returns, like on Christ the King Sunday today, where we celebrate he will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'll tell you, that message will preach any Sunday. That when the blows of life come, when the evil around us abounds, God is at work trying to redemptively bring good to pass, even if it's till the end of time. God is at work. And I think there perhaps this morning three very brief takeaways for us with this understanding how God is at work redeeming things. So three brief takeaways. First, be open and be receptive to God working in your life. Invite God in to work in your life. Be receptive of that relationship with God. If you have suffered and known the persistence of pain, then perhaps you will be more likely to be receptive to something greater than yourselves, to God, in the realities of life that you face. It is during such times we are often more willing to accept God's help when defeat and trouble comes. And so be receptive and be open to God. Secondly, be resourceful. Be resourceful. I think this is true. It is not so much what happens to us, but what we do when things happen to us. What do we do? I have personally found, and I'm sure many of you have found this, that strengths and resources often come to the forefront that we did not know we had earlier when the night shift comes. The night shift. That's what one author calls it. When we go into a time of pain and suffering and our lives are altered, we go into the night shift and our routines are changed. The results of pain and suffering can be that we are made more receptive and open to God by them and more resourceful. Thirdly, finally, be redemptive in your own life toward others. And here's the point in it. If God is busy in this world working for ways to make something good out of suffering, then certainly we can follow his example to do the same thing for others. Don't you believe that defeat and suffering make you more compassionate and understanding, more empathetic to what others have gone through? When we see that which is inadequate, that which is wrong in another person's life, remember, it is only by the grace of God that the circumstances are not ours as well. And so I cannot explain, nor can I imagine, the tragedy and the unexplainable mysteries of pain and suffering in our world, but this one thing we can give thanks for today: God is love, and God is always working to bring good out of whatever happens to you and me in this world. God is always at work in the practice of redemption. There is a play, and I close with this, a play named Green Pastures. It's by Mark Connolly, and it is a play about Moses. I told you we'd come back to him. And in the play, Moses announces to Joshua, of course, that he will be leading the people of Israel into the promised land and not himself. And Moses had done all that he had done, 40 years in the wilderness, listening to all the moaning and complaining of those people, and yet he was not allowed to go in. And finally, in the play, someone asks Moses why God is treating him this way. And this is the famous line in the play. And Moses says in the play, "God has plans for me yet." And we can believe that too. Even when the door is closed and the way seems blocked, in spite of disappointments and pain that alter our course, God has a plan for you. In all things then, at your Thanksgiving meal, give thanks, for God is at work in all circumstances. Praise be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, in everything, O God, and in all circumstances, and in the fullness of time, in this fallen and unjust world, we affirm today that you are at work to bring some good in all circumstances. We thank you for that promise that's revealed to us in all of Scripture. In Christ's name, amen.